Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally. Randy.
Thank you for tuning in today to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. All my shows are written for you so you can heal, grow, and be the very best you can be. The topic I'll be discussing today is how to heal a broken heart. Life after a breakup. If you've ever been in love, chances are that you've suffered the devastating feelings of at least one relationship breakup. Immediately following the end of a love relationship, your heart feels shattered. The pain you feel seems unbearable and permanent. There is a huge void in your life that you can't believe will ever be filled again. Age and experience tell us that we will eventually heal, but pain is still pain. It hurts no matter how old or how seasoned we are. It's no wonder we feel stuck and paralyzed by the pain of a broken heart. The aftermath of a breakup is shocking to our system, and it jumpstarts a major life transition that was not necessarily welcomed. No matter what precipitates it, transitions rarely come about with ease. When someone leaves you, you may be feeling rejected, abandoned, or worthless. You may ask yourself why you weren't good enough, and in a desperate attempt to save the relationship, you may even try to change something about yourself, hoping that it will make the other person love you again. But authentic love is not based on changing. It's based on acceptance. So we may want to adjust any of our own dysfunctional behavioral patterns when it becomes obvious that they are interfering with our relationships. We should never have to change who we truly are in order to be loved and accepted. And we have to ask ourselves honestly if our love interest was really well suited for us, or were we holding on to a fantasy of who we wanted that person to be? Perhaps that relationship should have ended a long time ago, but you desperately clung to any hope that would perpetuate your fantasy of things working out. Heartbreak is not always one-sided. Depending on the circumstance, the person who initiates the breakup may suffer just as much emotional pain as the person they have chosen to sever their ties with. Sometimes we don't want to walk away from a relationship, but due to reasons beyond our control, our hand is forced. There is simply nothing more we can do to fix it. Accompanying the withdrawal pain may be anger over having to have made that choice. Maybe there are feelings of guilt for being the one that ended the relationship, or worry about the other person's state of mind. The worst breakup I ever suffered through was the one with my first husband. I didn't want to leave him, But it eventually became a safety issue for me and my baby. At the time I decided to leave, his drug addiction was well beyond hope. I knew I had done everything in my power to make our marriage work, and had tried everything I could think of to help him with recovery. But his drug addiction undermined any chance we had at working things out. I felt lost because the person I had come to depend on had become the source of my heartache. So I had no choice but to leave, and it was an agonizing decision. I cried myself to sleep every night for a solid month. I was lost without him. I missed him with every fiber of my being. My heart felt like it had been ripped out and shattered into a million pieces. I couldn't imagine ever getting over the excruciating heartache and being happy again. On top of everything else, he tried for almost 2 years to punish me with guilt over leaving him. He blamed everything bad that happened to him on me from that point on. It was a really tough uphill climb for me, one that I could only accomplish by changing the conversations in my head. I'll explain what I mean by that in a few minutes. After a breakup, you may have many thoughts that keep you stuck in your pain. You may dwell on the loss of the future you had imagined, fantasized about, or planned on. You may panic about being alone, or worry about never finding someone else that will love you, or that you will love. You may obsess over what you could have done differently in the relationship. These thoughts are common, but self-defeating, because healing is not possible without acceptance. As long as you continue to hold on to a shred of hope that you'll be together again, you will not recover and move on. I used this quote by an unknown author in my memoir, Finally, and it says it perfectly. Relationships are like glass. Sometimes it's better to leave them broken than to try to hurt yourself putting them back together. It's only natural when you feel a huge void in your life to want to fill it up. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, as long as you fill it in ways that will benefit you in the long run. Filling a void with a quick fix is the worst thing you can do. It just puts off the inevitability of facing the truth. So does temporarily numbing yourself with alcohol or drugs, or partaking in any other self-defeating, emotionally blocking behaviors. To truly heal yourself, you need to allow yourself to grieve. You have to allow yourself to feel the pain. Give yourself permission to let out your emotions however you need to, or whatever they may be. Just do it privately. And don't place judgments or expectations on yourself, and be sure to ignore the judgments and expectations of others. Recovery from a broken heart is a grieving process. It's a process of letting go, surrendering, facing the fact that your reality as you knew it has changed. Grieving a lost relationship is not viewed by others the same as grieving a death. You may lack the support you need from others. People tend to be more sympathetic and more patient if we're grieving a death. When a relationship breaks up, some people get tired of hearing you talk about it. They'll tell you to just get over it. That's not what you need to hear. So to avoid that frustration, be sure to talk it out with someone close to you, someone you know you can trust, someone that will stand by you and support you. Don't waste your time talking to those who don't really care about you. They may say things that will make you feel worse. You won't feel better until you've completed the grieving process. No matter what the conditions of your grieving are, you will probably go through 4 stages of grief. The first stage is denial. The second is anger. The third is sadness. And the fourth is acceptance. Everyone's experience is different. There is no right or wrong way to grieve. You may go through the stages in a different order, waver back and forth between them, or repeat them. You may be fine one day and an emotional wreck the next. But if you allow the process to take its course, you will eventually come to terms with your loss and accept it. That's not to say that your emotions won't bleed through now and then. But with acceptance, you can move on with your life and eventually embrace the opportunity for new relationships. Finding time to grieve the loss of my ex-husband was difficult for me because at the time I had an infant daughter to take care of, and I had no money and only a temporary place to live. The pressure was on me to pull my life together as quickly as possible. I never had the luxury of falling apart. My daughter gave me inner strength I never knew I had, and believe me when I tell you that I needed that strength. My ex tried to sabotage my every move. He believed it was the only way that he could stay connected to us. So I was constantly swimming upstream. But what made it even harder for me was that I still loved him, and he loved me. And I didn't leave because the love died. I left because I had no other choice. And since we had a child together that he loved very much and wanted to see, and because unsupervised visits were out of the question due to his condition, I had to continually see him. But I had a goal to stay focused on. I was determined to move forward in my life for my daughter's sake. I found that I could do things for her that I could have never done for myself. Having a goal really helped in my recovery. So when did I grieve? I grieved 3 years later, when I finally had a soft place to land, right after I married my wonderful second husband. And then 2 years later, I had to grieve again when my ex-husband died of an overdose at age 34. I guess some of us have to put the cart before the horse. Due to circumstances, we may have to take control of our lives first and grieve later. But no one truly gets over their heartbreak until they grieve. The pain wreaks havoc sooner or later. So allow yourself to grieve. I mentioned earlier about changing the conversations in my head. We all talk to ourselves through our thoughts, though we rarely pay attention to what we're saying. We have these running dialogues that we've accumulated over the years and that stay with us for a very long time. These dialogues may cause us to worry, be fearful, or feel guilty. They influence our outlook on life and our reactions without us even being aware. In order to change any counterproductive thoughts, we have to listen to them. We have to identify the negative thought patterns that are in our head. then we have to set manageable goals and make promises to ourselves to reach them. With commitment and determination, it is possible to change our way of thinking. For instance, for reasons that I discuss in my book, Finally, I had pretty bad self-esteem issues. Not only that, I was a drama junkie. I thrived on chaos. And because of childhood issues, I thought that the more love hurt, the deeper it was. Top all that off with my relationship codependency issues. I was drawn to people I needed to fix. So I subconsciously chose all my relationships based on those components. Like a moth to a flame, I was drawn to impossible, painful, emotionally charged relationships with men who had major issues. So when I left my ex-husband and needed to change the course of my life, I had to face myself and ask, how's that pattern working for you? The truth was that it wasn't working for me. So I came to the crossroads of do what I'm doing and get the same results, or change the way I do things and get different results. The answer was pretty clear. I needed to change my thought patterns. So with that determination, I set out on a journey of healing. That's an example of what changing the conversations in our head means. Think about that for a minute. On that note, I'm going to take a brief 1 minute intermission. Here is a beautiful musical interlude by guitarist David Modica for your listening pleasure. I'll be right back. Back to today's discussion, how to heal a broken heart, life after a breakup. I was a little tongue-tied in the first section, but I think I've got my tongue untied, so let's try it again. Anyway, to mend a broken heart, you have to create thoughts that get you unstuck, keep you moving forward. You may take baby steps, or you may take giant leaps. It doesn't matter how large your steps are, how long it takes, or even if you fall back from time to time, as long as you set your sights on propelling your life forward and following through. If you find yourself stuck in your heartbreak, there are certain things you should definitely not do. These are things that will delay the inevitable. They'll only cause you more suffering, and possibly cause the hurt of others. Stalking is the first do not do on the list. You may be stalking your ex without realizing it. Do you bombard the other person with phone calls, emails, and texts? Do you sit outside of their home and wait for them, or continually show up at their door? Do you send messages through mutual friends or put your friends in the middle? Do you follow your ex or spy on them? Don't do these things. They are creepy, useless behaviors that will push the other person farther away. And as a result of these behaviors, you may get yourself into trouble with the law or arrested. If you want to bring closure to a relationship, what you can do is write a letter to the other person. Don't hold anything back. Tell them how they hurt you. Tell them everything you are feeling. Pour your heart out. Get it all down on paper and then don't mail it. Destroy it. Rip it into shreds. Burn it. That is a much healthier way to let your feelings out and let the relationship go. The second never do on the list is don't be intimate with your ex. Even if they second guess their decision about breaking up with you and plead with you to be with them, don't get sucked right back in. You're probably feeling sad, lonely, and vulnerable. You may crave the closeness you once had. But take time to think about how you feel and to see if they are truly sincere about wanting you back. Maintain your self-respect. Don't have desperation sex. That's like a drug addict having a relapse. It will only set back your recovery and lower your self-worth. Being with your ex may feel great at the time, but horrible later on. There are more beneficial ways of feeling better and building your self-esteem. Pamper yourself. Start a new hobby. Get a makeover. Or begin an exercise regimen to get in shape. These things will make you feel better about yourself and make you feel more attractive to others. And now that you don't have to compromise with someone else, do all the things you enjoy doing. Wear the clothes you want to wear. Eat what you want to eat. Watch the movies that you like. This is the time to surround yourself with positive people that lift you up, inspire you, and make you laugh. And this is the time to learn how to love yourself so you can happily enjoy your own company. The third no-no on the list is don't try to even the score. Your ex may have done you wrong. They probably hurt you. And as a result, you may feel it necessary to punish them. But don't do it. Your goal in getting over your broken heart is to move away from the relationship, not remain stuck in your anger. Don't harass your ex or get others to harass them. The song "Before He Cheats" by Carrie Underwood, if you've ever heard it, makes getting even sound empowering. But don't key your ex's car or damage their property. It's wrong and you're going to get in trouble. It may be tempting to use social networks like Facebook or MySpace to talk trash about your ex, but don't do it. You'll only degrade yourself. And forget about playing jealousy games like positioning yourself in the arms of someone else in places where you know your ex will see you. No one wins from that type of behavior. Instead of acting out your hostility, use it in a way that will make you feel better, but not harm anyone. One way to do that is to focus on your ex's imperfections and insensitivities, like lack of character or cruelty. Make yourself remember all the annoying things they did when you were together that you had to put up with. By reinforcing realistic memories, you will replace the fantasies that haunt you. You'll remind yourself that perhaps you are better off without that person and that relationship. Remember, your relationship may have ended, but your new life, the one you'll live on your terms, has just begun. This is a time to strengthen your relationships with your family and your friends, especially the ones you have lost touch with while you were involved with your ex. since you no longer have the person in your life that you may have relied on, you now have to build a healthy new support system. Talk to others about their breakups. Ask them to tell you what they experienced and how they coped with their broken heart. You may gain new insight, new coping skills, and it will reinforce to you that others have gone through what you're going through and have come out just fine. Forgiveness is part of any healing process. A broken heart is no exception. If you hold on to the anger of everything your ex did to you, you will never get over your loss. Two people were involved in your relationship. Chances are that you both made mistakes. And do yourself a favor. Put away pictures, cards, gifts, anything that is a reminder of the time you and your partner spent together. Give them back any possessions that they want and dispose of the rest. Focus on yourself for a while. Take a vacation. A change of scenery will probably do you good. Get lost in a good book. Just stay away from romance stories. Consider your healing as a journey of learning and self-discovery. Take time to find out who you are and what you want. Become whole. Don't bring just a part of you to your next relationship. Bring your entire wonderful self. Healthy relationships consist of two people who can live alone and be happy, but choose to join their lives together. So take the time to know yourself and to heal your wounds before jumping back into the dating scene. For me, it took several months after I separated from my ex-husband before I could even begin to entertain the thought of dating again. But I knew I couldn't keep the walls I'd built around me forever. So when my girlfriends began encouraging me to date by offering to fix me up with the single guys they knew, I decided I might as well give it a try. But dating was uncomfortable for me for several reasons. For one thing, it felt really strange going out on dates with single men at the same time that I was nursing my baby. Not that I took her along on dates or fed her in front of them, but in my head, I was still deeply in mother mode. I didn't have the playful, flirtatious attitude that comes along with dating, and I didn't feel very sexy. Just like a cow, my breasts were for food. It was very odd. The second problem was my emotional fragility. My entire self-esteem was based on the guy's opinion of me. If they liked me, I felt great. But my feelings got hurt very easily. If a guy said something the least bit unkind to me, I'd spend days wallowing in thoughts of rejection and obsessing over my inadequacies. I was a train wreck. The third problem I had was that I needed to change the caliber of the guys that I dated if I wanted my life to change for the better. Nice, grounded, decent guys were best, but I wasn't attracted to them. I was still in the process of reconfiguring that tired old conversation in my head. When you arrive at a mindset where you can entertain the thought of dating again, take it very slow. You don't want to date if you are fragile or needy. Make sure you have sufficiently healed and are ready. Then it can be a very positive, self-esteem boosting experience. You'll feel like you are back in the game, living your life again. It's good practice to start out by dating people that, chances are, you'll have no long-term interest in. This is a time of learning how to get your needs met in a healthy way, a time to discover all the special things you can offer someone in a future relationship. During this time, you can decide what kind of person you'll want to involve yourself with in the future, and what you will surely stay far away from. Avoid rebound relationships at all cost. They may be tempting because initially they feel great and they distract you from your pain, but they rarely work out. In the end, you'll just compound your pain with another bad relationship. Take it slow. Breakups are difficult, but so is life. Whatever strength you find and whatever you learn from this painful experience will help you throughout your life. Everything happens for a reason. There is a greater plan to our existence. Think about your past relationship. What lessons were you supposed to learn from it? There is a lesson in everything. Allow those lessons to teach you, help you grow. In time, you will understand why you had to go through all of this. By then, this painful memory will have faded, and you will be at an entirely different place in your life. You'll be older and wiser. Love is out there for you. The trials and tribulations of your past relationships prepare you for the ultimate one, a commitment with the true love of your life. There may always be tender places in your heart reserved for special, fond memories of past loves. To quote Brian Littrell, if you love someone, put their name in a circle, not a heart. Because a heart can be broken, but a circle goes on forever. We never stop loving those we truly love. Long after the pain has gone, those feelings will make us smile. We will honor those experiences for the value it added to our lives, for making us who we are. I'm so glad you joined me today, and I hope you found comfort in this show and perhaps acquired some knowledge that will make your healing journey easier. Please email me at afinetimeforhealing@randygfine.com with your comments and questions. Be sure to tune in on Thursday, September 8th, at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, as I discuss the topic, Karma, the Cause and Effect of Our Actions. All my shows will be archived and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio or iTunes. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is talk radio show host and author, Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.